Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy hump day. It is Wednesday, and this week has been flying by mostly thanks to CNN. All the brilliance that happens at CNN. No, but there are a lot of stories this week. We have the Jussie Smollett trial. We have the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Of course, we have Omicron, whatever you want to call it. Whatever I call it, I'm sure we'll get some advice on how that's not the correct pronunciation. Also, my apologies to Ghislaine, whatever her name is. But yeah, there's a lot of trials to cover this week. And then there's just a lot of political news, especially here in Massachusetts. I'm sure you guys have heard by now, but if you haven't, I'm thrilled to be the bearer of good news. Charlie Baker will not seek re-election. It was announced today.
My hair's on fire.
It's the number one story in the Boston Globe, although it's not hard to become the number one story in the Boston Globe. And I'm thrilled about this. I think it's a feather in Jeff Deal's cap that Charlie Baker did not want to run again. He gave two excuses for why he doesn't want to run. One of them is the classic, I have to spend more time with my family. And that really is just, you know, you can't get any more classic politician than that. And the second one that him and Polito, because she's not running either, the second one that they came up with was, you know, we didn't want to get too involved in the mudslinging of politics while we were focused on the coronavirus. They were focused. I'll give them that. They talked about it all the time. They talked about how they were going to fight it, all the measures they were taking. At one point, he was having press conferences on a daily basis. This was before I got my own show, and it was a tough time. I mean, not to make this about me, but Howie was obsessed with these press conferences because he couldn't get over the smugness of Baker and how at every opportunity Baker enjoyed kind of punishing these small businesses. He really had, for someone who I always thought was fairly compassionate, he didn't really have a lot of sympathy for business owners. And he had very strict rules. And I think most annoying was that he would just take every opportunity to bash Donald Trump. Like, well, he never stood up for Trump.
He's the most popular governor in all of America. So I guess it makes sense to go out on top.
Yeah, and that just goes to show you that it's not a popularity contest. I mean, because if that's what being popular is, I don't want to be it. Now, speaking of popularity contests, someone who's not winning any of those anytime soon is Joe Biden. FJB is what you keep hearing, but there's a nicer way to say it, and that's Let's Go Brandon. And if you missed it, Joe Biden was actually, he did not get a warm welcome the other day when he went, I think it was actually today, did he go to Michigan? And he was met with signs. Some people gave him the bird. It was not a warm crowd. You know, sometimes you're dealing with a warm crowd. I always tell people when they're about to give a speech at a wedding, everybody loves you here. Everybody wants to laugh. This is the warmest audience you're ever going to get. When Joe Biden goes somewhere, it's a pretty chill audience. No one is that excited. Even the people that are there, even like the 10 people that are watching, are pretty zoned out. But he was,
Let's go, Brandon!
He was met with a lot of Let's go, Brandon. And for me, it couldn't have come at a better time because if you're watching the Rumble, you see I'm wearing our very cool new t-shirts, which you can get at gracecurlyshow.com. Let's go, Brandon. I feel like everyone talks about Let's Go Brandon t-shirts, but no one can actually ever get one or find one. These are great quality, very comfortable, very patriotic, the little American flag. So you're supporting our country and throwing a little shade at the president at the same time. So you can get those at gracecurlyshow.com.
It is a cotton t-shirt, but it's a little softer material. it's not that heavy cotton that you get like
no,
that.
It's very breathable.
It's a breathable, softer cotton too, which I like. I'm a tactile guy that way.
Absolutely. And you're a fashion plate, so you yes. want to look cool. You want to keep up with the trends. So we have that on the website. Very exciting. And then, of course, there's the Chris Cuomo of it all. My poll question yesterday was, do you think this is the end of the road for Chris Cuomo? And I was right, I think.
They were wrong before they were right.
I was right before I might be wrong later on. He was indefinitely suspended by CNN. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Yesterday, a woman called up, very good caller. And she said, you know, why are you spending all this time talking about Chris Cuomo? You should be focused on inflation and all these other things. And when people call up and they complain about what we're talking about, I do take it into consideration because I understand. Sometimes, you know, you got to try to keep your finger on the pulse. Sometimes you're reading the room wrong. But in this situation, I want to explain to people why I am going to really hammer in on Chris Cuomo. Because I had to sit through so many clips of this man for years, sanctimoniously lecturing me and you on why we're dumb, we're terrible people, orange man bad. And he got rich. He's making $6 million a year. His brother was the governor of New York. He got praise from Vogue, from Marie Claire, from Chelsea Handler. He got Emmy Awards. He got Ted Kennedy Inspired Leadership Awards. He wrote a $5.1 million book, which sold like 50,000 copies or something pathetic. And we all had to sit through it. And once in a while, the karma train comes around, toot, toot. And I just want to take this in because there does seem to be this trend that people who go up against Trump and people who make their name off of hating Donald Trump, it doesn't tend to work out for them. And now on a side note, another reason I will be talking about this today, and I hope you guys are along for the ride. If you want to call up and talk about Baker, happy to do it. I'm trying to get Jeff Deal on the show right now. And if you want to call up and talk about any of these trials or anything that's going on, we have some cuts of Joe Biden struggling. He was very much struggling yesterday trying to name, you know, congresswomen. That's always tough. The people that he sees every single, or at least a lot, he can't figure out if they're a man or a woman, whatever. It was a tough day for him. We will talk about all that. But another reason I do want to focus on Chris Cuomo today is because I went on Twitter last night and I was really just, you know, online shopping or whatever. And of course I click on Twitter and I see this tweet that CNN, because Cuomo is suspended indefinitely, they have to fill the time. So they have Anderson Cooper taking up his spot. When they make the announcement that Chris Cuomo is not going to be there that night, you know, that I'm sorry, everyone, the main actor is not going to be on the stage tonight. We're bringing in the alternate, the backup. When they make the announcement, they have Jeffrey Toobin on the panel. And that is a level of irony that I have to imagine someone in there is going, is this a good idea?
Damn, Jeffrey Toobin.
I feel like even Jeffrey Toobin at that point is saying, you guys sure you want me on tonight? Like tonight? Maybe tomorrow night when it's a little less hot in the news? But no, the look on Jeffrey Toobin's face when they cut to him is like, this is strange. We're about to get roasted on Twitter.
I put my pants on for this.
I shut down the Zoom call to come in person for this. Come on, guys. And they want to convince us that like they're taking this so seriously. He's indefinitely suspended. You're never going to see Chris Cuomo again is basically the vibe they're giving off. And then at the same time, the guy who's on TV telling you about it was indefinitely suspended like 3 weeks ago. It was a while ago, but it feels like, you know, pleasuring oneself on a Zoom call like Jeffrey Toobin did, when that hits the news, it's always going to feel like it was just yesterday.
That was almost a year ago because that was about their election coverage, right? Wasn't that the...
Yeah, it was an election... I have to be very careful about this.
Election selection...
No, election simulation.
Simulation. Sorry.
It ended up being a lot more than that, obviously. But yeah, it blows my mind that... That's who they bring out. CNN is such a complete joke at this point. And I want to bring up something else about Chris Cuomo, because I was thinking about this today. The real disturbing part about these text messages he was sending to Melissa DeRosa, we talked a little bit about them yesterday, and how he actually did bring this up a few days ago, and I hadn't seen the text, and I didn't know why he was focusing on it, but he's absolutely right. There's a text about the girl. There was a girl who Andrew Cuomo put his hands on her face at a wedding, and so Chris Cuomo, in his text messages, refers to this woman as the wedding girl. And he says that he might have info on her. He thinks she was put up to it. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but I will read them verbatim later on. And the reason I find this so amazing is because not only is he crossing, you know, journalistic lines by basically offering to do oppo research for Governor Cuomo's team, but he's also trying to discredit a victim of sexual harassment. This is the same guy who jumped through hoops to try to defend and praise Christine Blasey Ford, a woman who had zero evidence about her accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. And he was leading the marching band for Christine Blasey Ford. She was a hero. We need to believe all women. This same guy, this same snake, is trying to dig up dirt on a girl whose the only reason that she became like a focal point in this is because his scumbag brother had to put his large hands on her face at a wedding in front of tons of people. It really, like, there's no, the hypocrisy of these people. And it's a beautiful thing to watch it come to light. And I have to say, I understand why Tucker Carlson does a complete monologue on Chris Cuomo, because these people have, they have focused so heavily on Tucker Carlson. And Tucker never makes it about himself. He does monologues about January 6th. He does monologues about these boneheaded politicians. He'll do monologues on Chris Cuomo. But he doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't try to claim that he is this sanctimonious person who everyone should listen to because he's so morally right. That was Chris Cuomo's mistake. And now we're all going to take a victory lap. So buckle up. Buckle up. I'm about to take you down memory lane of some of my favorite Chris Cuomo cuts, some of his best moments. And I'm going to venture to say that I think he'll eventually be back. I don't think we've seen the last of him. You know that Santa loves turtles. Yes, it's true, especially when they are Phillips chocolate turtles made with rich, smooth caramel, hand-roasted pecans, cashews, and almonds, topped with that mouth-watering dollop of milk or dark chocolate. Phillips has been using the same recipe since 1925. A trip to Phillips Chocolate has been a Curly family tradition. I love these turtles. I had them at my wedding. They're absolutely delicious. Phillips Chocolates in Boston. They're Boston's oldest chocolatier. Jared, you got to try. Was I lying?
No, you were not. The smoothest chocolate I have ever eaten. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not a huge chocolate guy.
You will be now, though.
These were fantastic.
They really are. And when I say it's a tradition, I mean it. Every year for different holidays, my dad always gets my mom a bar of Heavenly Hash. It's her favorite thing to eat. She always eats the bar in one sitting and then says, wow, I should have tried to space that out. But that's tradition. You have to do it.
I understand. Sometimes you just can't help yourself.
Yes. And you can purchase them in store or online just in time for the holidays. And if you place an order online for $100 or more and use code GRACE, you'll save $10 off your purchase. To order, go to PhillipsChocolate.com or visit their Winter Wonderland at 818 Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester. Again, make it Phillips Chocolate for that perfect holiday sweet treat. That's PhillipsChocolate.com and use code GRACE at checkout. You'll save $10 by using code GRACE. I'm going to open up the calls for this first hour because we're going to talk about all sorts of things. I also want to talk about Jussie Smollett's dry run, like his rehearsal for the hate crime, because
method actors are the best.
Jared, as a thespian, I feel so personally invested in this play, and I need to see the ending. Did you see him walking into the courtroom yesterday?
I'd say it was more of a strut than a walk.
It was a strut. This guy really thinks that he's the hero in this movie. And I hate to tell him, you're the villain. You are the villain. And that's becoming very clear. 844-500-4242. So much to get to. Call in, weigh in. We'll be right back. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Watching the asphalt grow. Thinking how it all looks handy.
How do you know the words to Good Time?
You know I'm black on the inside.
Oh, that was Chris Cuomo and his BFF, Don Lemon. Sad day for Don, too. But then I read this Daily Beast report that Cuomo doesn't have a lot of friends at CNN. I don't know where that would come from. I find that shocking, too. He always seems so approachable.
There are a lot of fat tire bikers at CNN, perhaps?
Well, you know what is also, I was going to make the poll question, like, who came off the worst, looking the worst from these Chris Cuomo texts to Andrew Cuomo staff. But I think it's pretty obvious that Chris Cuomo did. But a real runner-up would be Katie Turr. Did you see this? Katie Turr got a shout-out. I have to read you this because it's not just about Chris Cuomo. And that's something I really want to emphasize. This is about the media desperately needing a reckoning. This is about the media not understanding just how big of a problem they have. Just how little people trust them. Trump was absolutely right. And I know if you turn on Fox News and, you know, maybe they have more discipline than I do, they'll say that saying the enemy of the people isn't a good thing and it's dangerous rhetoric. He's right. You see this now with the Omicron variant, the way they're hyping this up. I have an incredible, incredible letter that the South African doctor who discovered this variant wrote about how the media is and the governments in all these different countries are being incredibly irresponsible with this news. And Chris Cuomo is just a small example of a much, much larger problem. So let me read you this. Now, you heard about this name, all right? The name of this woman who was helping with the PR machine of Andrew Cuomo as it started to fall. The March 3rd text was sent by Liz Smith to 10 of Cuomo's closest confidants. She was asking, this was a different story about a reporter who asked her if Cuomo had been sleeping with people he works with for decades. Now, Smith also testified that she was sure those were the reporter's words because I remember that conversation well. Now, here's the part of it I find interesting. Smith's messages also show her describing in real time how she was texting with Katie Turr of NBC News earlier on March 3rd. This was her text. Katie is saying my spin live, she gloated, like verbatim on CNN. And then one of Cuomo's communications directors texted a heart emoji back, and then also someone else corrected that she meant MSNBC. But basically, they gave Katie Turr talking points on how to cover Andrew Cuomo, and she did it verbatim. This is a journalist. I'm using air quotes, obviously. The word journalist now has become a bit of a joke, I would say. You get talking points from Team Cuomo, who is at this point more of a, I think he makes villains from movies blush because he is so out there, and you read them verbatim on air to your audience. The trust is gone.
I like a lot of things Donald Trump did, but my favorite thing that Donald Trump did was expose these media hack activists and just put it all front and center. That may be his greatest contribution is, I don't want to say breaking people from the media spell, but breaking people from the idea that these people on television
are serious people.
Yes.
No, you're right. And What I would say to that, Jared, and you just hit the nail on the head, is that this was always simmering. You know, you could go back to 1960s, 1970s, even when the journalism was considered like fair and balanced compared to what it is today. This liberal viewpoint was always simmering underneath the surface. But what Trump did was he exposed them so completely that they couldn't go back. They couldn't go back to pretending. And that was their big regret, is that they pretended to be fair when it was Hillary versus Trump. They had to throw in a couple things for Hillary, make it a little tough for her, because they thought, oh, she'll still win. And then when she didn't win, they said, oh, we can't do that again. We have to go full force. And look what we have now. We have Joe Biden. And there's a few things that Greg Gutfeld has been saying lately that he nails. But one thing he pointed out was, Biden is mad at us for not voting for him. Trump was never mad at people who didn't vote for him. He was always mad at the media. And it's becoming more and more obvious that anger was well directed. because these people suck. We'll be right back. We got a lot more to get to. We'll take your calls, too. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
There are stories and critics saying all kinds of things about me, many unsupported. But know this, my position has never changed. I never misled anyone about the information I was delivering or not delivering on this program. I never attacked nor encouraged anyone to attack any woman who came forward.
Except via text message. That was the one thing he left out. Ooh, I love having everything on video. Isn't it just a wonderful thing? I love how he says, I never would do that. He's really aghast. Even in his denials, he is so sanctimonious. It really, you know,
I never
would do such a thing.
That was 3 short months ago, by the way. 3 months.
You know, so much has changed since then, alas. And he's indefinitely suspended, so I just want to say he's not fired. There's calls for him to be fired, but he is not fired yet. His ratings are suffering. He does have, you know, Tucker Carlson said the same kind of similar thing I was mentioning yesterday, which is, yeah, his ratings are not great compared to, I don't know, Fox News. But compared to other people at CNN, it's kind of like when you're in school and they have to grade on a curve because everybody failed the test. So, yeah, you got a 65, but by the end of the day, you're looking at like a 75. That's what's happening here. And I just want to point out one other thing about that Chris Cuomo cut. Joe Borelli yesterday hit the nail on the head. It's the insufferableness is what I can't stand. And yet I suffered through it for so many years until today. Today we take a little victory lap, and I'm actually going to show you guys some of my favorite cuts of Chris Cuomo. I do want to ask, though, do you think the Donald Trump and Jeff deal were disappointed this morning when they got the news about Charlie Baker? Do you think they were disappointed that Charlie Baker is not going to run for re-election? I don't think so, because he's spending more time with his family. I think this is good news for Massachusetts.
I'm chuckling.
I'd love to take your calls on it. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Jimmy. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, first of all, congratulations on your wedding.
Thank you so much.
And I just want to say the two of the most beautiful things that happened in the last 24 hours, the downfall of Fredo Cuomo, and now this morning hearing that we're nearing the end of reign of terror of King Baker.
It's a good
Hopefully we can make what?
Yeah, it's a very good day.
It is a good day.
No, I agree, Jimmy. I totally agree. And on top of all that, as if you needed more news, we have Let's Go Brandon t-shirts available at the website, gracecurlyshow.com. This is like a hat trick. We've really hit the trifecta here. Yeah, I'm very pleased to see that some of these arrogant buffoons who lectured us for months and months and months during this pandemic and didn't follow any of their own rules are finally being exposed for being such hypocrites. And, you know, we started this conversation in the last segment, but it's not just about Chris Cuomo. It's about how this media ecosystem works. It really is. It's about how they can text Katie Turr talking points and she'll recite them word for word on her news program. And then people get that. And it's sad that there's actually people out there watching MSNBC who don't have to, but they do. And they repeat it and they think it's valid information. And I think a huge part of this is that Trump did expose not just the media, but the swamp and how they all know each other and how it works. And it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassment for CNN. But like I said, we're really going to act like CNN has standards. They bring out Jeffrey Toobin. I mean, this is like a clown show at this point. It really is. Speaking of a clown show, I should mention here that Joe Biden is having quite the week, Jared. He hasn't made that many public appearances, but when he did, he really, he made his mark, you know? He's quality over quantity. He's not out there for a long time. He's out there for a good time.
Sometimes you're just in a pretty place, and you just got to bring it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're signing a bill that you start to read and realize, oh, no, I don't want to do that. That's too many words.
And I have to say, I just mentioned him before, but Greg Gutfeld hit the nail on the head yesterday when he said, Joe Biden makes Mr. Magoo look like Winston Churchill. Like, Joe Biden really does make Mr. Magoo seem like he knew what was going on. He was ahead of his time. He was on the pulse. Yeah, he has not been having a good week. He is trying to deal with this variant, Omicron, whatever he's calling it today. And he's struggling because he doesn't know the right move. And the reason they don't know the right move is because the right move can never be what Trump did. It has to be the opposite of what Trump did. But whatever Trump did during this pandemic, it was to protect the American people. Whether he was downplaying the virus, whether he was issuing travel bans, it was to keep us safe. And they can't do any of those things because they're Trump deranged. And so what they end up doing is just insanity. They end up panicking people. Now they're talking about shutdowns again. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think people will go for it, but I don't know. That's the scariest part. That's the part of this pandemic that really did disappoint me, was how people did fold. And I'm glad that we have people like Jeff Diehl who are trying to kind of bring us back and rein it back a little bit with these emergency powers. Did you see what happened in California? Governor Gavin Newsom, I wish I could say ex-Governor Gavin Newsom, he went on vacation. We might have to do another Marie Antoinette segment, because this guy is making Nancy Pelosi look very, very down to earth. He went on vacation at a place that's $23,000 a night. Guaranteed it's all inclusive. So you do save.
He went to one of those hotels where we're putting up illegals?
No, he went to a hotel in Mexico. I'll read you the whole story. $23,000 a night. That is a nice chunk of change. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
How much you want to bet within 2 weeks of Charlie, King Charlie's retirement, he's on the board of Big Pharma?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you're on the money there. I don't think we've seen the end of Charlie Baker. But honestly, Dave, I'm just happy. I kind of feel the same way I did about Fauci. It's like I will take a win just having him not on my TV every single day. And having him not have the ability to make these rules as he goes. I mean, this guy destroyed businesses in Massachusetts.
Yeah, and meanwhile, he's a multi-millionaire. And he's always getting it from Big Pharma. I mean, he worked for Big Pharma before. Didn't he run one of the healthcare systems?
Yeah, he has a background in healthcare. And I should probably read this to people if they're just tuning in. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker will not seek a third term in 2022. In a joint statement with Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito, Baker said a campaign would have been a distraction from managing the COVID-19 pandemic, work that cannot and should not be about politics in the next election. Polito also will not seek re-election, they said in a statement, and an advisor said she will not run for governor in 2022, which I do have to say, I know I keep joking around about people being disappointed, but I bet Howie's a little disappointed in that. He would have had a good time if Karen Polito decided to throw her hat in the ring. He puts his family first, the person said. Well, that's nice. It's good to know. Yeah, but we're having a really good news day as far as local politics go. That's great news. And this national story about Chris Cuomo is just taking the world by storm. I do want to play a few of my favorite cuts from Tucker last night. I thought he nailed Chris Cuomo. They kind of have this like longstanding feud. I think it started when Tucker would make references to Chris Cuomo being like a meathead and, you know, lifting weights and dumbbells and things like that. And so they've always had a back and forth. But I think we can all safely say that Tucker has officially won this war. Tucker versus Chris Cuomo. I think Tucker's coming out on top. So let's play some of these cuts here. I want to start with this first one, cut 12, because it brought me to another cut, which we'll get to in a sec.
Big changes in the tiny hothouse, and it is tiny, of cable news this evening. CNN's top-rated anchor, Chris Cuomo, has been pulled off the air, likely for good. We'll probably never see him on camera again. For us here at Fox, it feels like the end of something. Like most Americans, we never actually watched the Chris Cuomo show, assuming that was its name. But over the years, we saw his clips, and they transfixed us. Very often as a public service, but also because honestly we could not help ourselves, we brought them to you. How, we wondered, did a man who could barely speak English wind up with a paying job on television? Was it some kind of weird affirmative action program for the illiterate? We never figured it out, but it was remarkable to see it. Sentence after badly mangled sentence, a bouillabaisse of incomprehensible grammar. You couldn't understand any of it. It was a kind of performance art, a communicator wholly unable to communicate.
It was a kind of performance art. Yeah, that is what he was going off of. It was all about him. That was the part of it I couldn't stand. I was talking to Howie about this today, and Howie said, you know, when you're on TV, you need even more discipline than when you're on radio. And I thought, there's so many things I don't know. And my first job when that happens is to either find someone who does know about it or to learn about it. But if you're just talking about yourself all day long, I guess that's fine if you're an angel. But the second that people find out that you're not, you have no credibility, because for the last 10 years, you've been telling us how wonderful you are and how wonderful your big bro is and how wonderful your family is. And you're going to go to Mars for some meatballs. But the thing that Tucker said, which cracked me up, was he's taken some shots at Chris Cuomo's intelligence. And that brings me to one of my favorite cuts of all time. It's underrated. It's not him threatening to push somebody down the stairs. It's not him emerging from the basement. It's not even the fat tire biker quote, which you guys know I love. This is a little bit more subtle. This happened, all right? I'm going to give you a little flashback here. This happened during the Mueller investigation, and Chris Cuomo was hosting his show, and he had Michael Mukasey, a former federal judge, come on the show and do an interview. Now, during the discussion about Attorney General William Barr's summary of the Mueller report, Cuomo argued that Barr wrote his letter in a purposeful way to mislead the American people. I'm reading from Fox. That is just to set this up. But you can hear in this man's voice the absolute shock that Chris Cuomo not only went to law school, went to Yale. And I'll never forget this cut. It's one of my all-time favorites. This is cut 10.
He took it on himself to decide this rule. He didn't have to do that.
Of course he had to do it.
Why?
Who was going to decide whether to indict or not?
Congress. As a political matter. Leave it to them.
They decide whether to impeach or not.
And Mike,
they
don't decide. You're skipping the big point, which you taught me about very early on.
That is the big point.
They can't indict him. That is the opinion from the OLC. So there is nothing to decide on that level. It is purely political. It always would be.
Congress doesn't indict. Congress can impeach.
I know. I'm using it as just a, you know, a metaphor here.
But you're misleading a lot of people.
No, because we know the
OLC.
You have
a big audience.
We know the OLC says.
It's getting smaller by the minute now.
You can't indict.
And there's so many cuts like that. There really is. And I should mention one of my other favorite cuts, which was when Chris Cuomo was talking to Rudy Giuliani, and Rudy Giuliani said, and I'll try to find this during the break, because it really, some of them are just wholesome good cuts. He said Joe Biden was the last in his law class, in his graduating class. And Chris Cuomo tried to argue it because, of course, he's Biden's number one fan. And Rudy Giuliani looked at him and said, all right, Chris, he was second to last, and then the last guy died. And I don't know why. That always stuck with me. I thought it was so funny. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Grace. Yeah, so what I'm going to miss most about Chris is his bromance with Don Lemon and them always trying to one-up each other on how much they loved each other and how much I'm a better friend than you are with you. It was just, it was sickening. It was kind of comical at the same time, though.
Yeah, I know. And they were always, you know, they were always talking about how great the other one was and you do such great work and yada, yada, yada. And it really was. I mean, but this is what happens with these anchors. They are so out of touch. They really think they're spewing wisdom to the masses. And meanwhile, the ratings are just going down the tubes. It's incredible. And he really is not only a pompous jerk, but he was trying to do Oppo research for his brother. It definitely crossed a line, without a doubt. And I'm not surprised CNN decided, we can't hang on to him anymore. It's too embarrassing. But I want to remind people, indefinitely suspended, not fired. You don't hear the "you're fired" coming from Jeff Zucker too much. He likes to give people a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth chance. So
you're fired. Go.
We'll see how that goes. We'll be right back with more. Don't go anywhere. All right, but I need to tell you guys about a great organization before I go, and this is Wreaths Across America. I don't know if people know this. Yesterday was Giving Tuesday, but it's never too late. It's always a good time to give. And now more than ever, there are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedoms. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 18th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and you have the opportunity to teach younger generations the value of their freedoms. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh, handmade balsam fir wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath, made with 10 balsam bouquets, is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 3,000 participating locations across the country and overseas. Please sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation for our veterans. Go to wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's wreathsacrossamerica.org. Please donate now. I'm glad people are enjoying the Chris Cuomo, because I would be sad if people didn't want to talk about this today. We endured so much of this guy. We owe him this. This is his swan song. And I'm going to sing it loud and proud. We'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Why would you call Joe Biden what you called him today?
That he's dumb?
No. That would have been a compliment. Oh, that would have been like an invitation to the prom. You called him a mentally deficient idiot.
I didn't mean that. I meant he's dumb. I think Joe's last in his law school class. Joe.
He wasn't last, but he was low.
Actually, he was second to last, and the guy died.
You can't tell me that's not an amazing cut. By the way, I have to issue a correction. If anyone's watching on the Rumble, you saw I just got a phone call. It was from my dad. He said, Grace, you should issue a correction. Chris Cuomo went to Yale undergrad and Fordham for law school. So there is that bit of saving grace for Yale that they did not send him through as a lawyer.
Now do the other 7,800 idiots that have emerged from the program.
No, I'll spare you guys that. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. I'm sitting down today going over my calendar and picking out a winter date for a weekend at Follinsby. You guys know that's my favorite thing to do every year. That's Follinsby Inn, spelled Follansbee. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you needed a lawyer, which of these people would you hire? Chris Cuomo, Hunter Biden, Jeffrey Toobin, or Michael Avenatti?
Can I represent myself?
Probably better.
I think I would choose... Well, tell me them again. I would say Toobin. I would say Toobin.
Chris Cuomo, Hunter Biden, Jeffrey Toobin, and Michael Avenatti.
I would say Toobin, but I would say we're not doing any virtual meetings. Everything's in person.
That might be worse. Toobin is polling at 31%. That is good for second place. First place goes to Michael Avenatti at 33%, the creepy porn lawyer.
See, I would have a totally opposite. I would have Toobin as my number one, because maybe he could get me out of whatever predicament I'm in. Number two, I would say Hunter Biden, because at the very least, maybe you get to go out and party with him or gives you a painting. And then next, I would say Chris Cuomo. And then last, I would say Michael Avenatti. Cannot stand him. But he's another example of someone who was a hero. They picked the worst heroes.
You call him President Avenatti.
Forgive me.
Remember that.
Yeah, he was going to be the next big thing. Chris Cuomo was on board until he saw that his brother was rising. And he thought, you know what? You know who could be an even better president than Avenatti? My big bro, Andrew Cuomo. I might write a piece on all of the presidents we missed out on. In fact, another legal beagle, President Eric Swalwell. He could be on that list as well. All right, when we get back, I'm going to read you an amazing piece from the South African doctor who discovered the Omicron variant. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You keep meatballs in your jacket?